remorse and unworthiness. I am a man of unclean lips, he cries out. Then a seraph picks up a live ember and touches the ember to the lips of Isaiah and says, your guilt is absolved. And then this next scene, I think, is one of the most powerful in all the Bible. The Lord of hosts asks, who shall we send? Who will go for us? And the recently absolved Isaiah, excitedly and with great enthusiasm, says, here am I. Send me. In the second chapter of John, we have a very common scene, probably one of which we have all participated in at some point, a wedding feast, a wedding banquet. And Jesus is there with his disciples and his mother. And at a certain point, his mother comes up to him and says, the hosts are out of wine. And Jesus says, what concern of that is mine? My hour has not yet come. But as an act of faith, Mary directs the servants to do as Jesus says. And Jesus tells the servants to fill several large water jugs with water to the brim. And he tells them to take the jugs to the wine steward. And on the way, the water is transformed into wine. And when the wine steward draws off some of the wine, he's amazed, almost flabbergasted, how well the wine tastes. And he tells the host, most people hosting the feast serve the good wine first, and the poor wine later. When people have had so much to drink, they can't tell the difference. But the steward says that you have saved the best wine for last. Now, being a good Trinitarian, I think there's three lessons for us in these readings. In the first story, Isaiah is so consumed by guilt and remorse that he cannot act. Woe is me. And I confess to you all here this morning that I am like that. And have been for many years. My sense of guilt and remorse prevents me from being the kind of witness for Jesus that I would like to be. Maybe we all have some sense of this. On Sunday mornings, I get absolution for my sins. And then during the week, I turn right around and commit the same sins all over again, producing the same guilt, the same remorse, and the same sense of unworthiness. I hear the Lord of hosts calling to me, who shall I send? And I cannot give my whole being and say, here am I, send me. Secondly, in the second story, Jesus says, my hour has not yet come. He means, of course, that he is not ready to reveal that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, God incarnate. But I think the idea can also apply to me and perhaps to you. Maybe you see something of yourself in this. If I cannot do something because my hour has not come, when will my hour come? Have I spent a lifetime of waiting? And here I'm reminded of a passage written by Henry David Thoreau of Walden Pond fame when he said that I went into the woods to live deliberately and to confront the essence of life in a direct way, so that when I came to die, I would not think that I had not yet begun to live. To live deliberately, to confront the essentials of love. When will I be what I want to be? At what hour will I reveal myself? said, that I am not the kind of follower of Christ that I want to be. And I would say that Jesus wants to put life into us now. Not in the future, but this day, this hour, Jesus is waiting to put life in us. In the first story, it is guilt and remorse that debilitates and prevents us from proclaiming, "Here am I, send me." In the second story, we refuse or hesitate to recognize the appointed hour. How difficult to say to ourselves, "Now is my appointed hour." We can no longer wait to become. The train's arrived. It's sitting in the station waiting for us to board or not to board. Third, just as Jesus transformed water into wine, so can we be transformed. Jesus is waiting to transform us into a better version of ourselves and a better personal vision of how we can be Christ to the world. The call to service, Christian servant. The problem is that we human beings are not ignorant like water. We can and do resist. And our resistance to transformation has to be broken down. And it can be if we believe that the best has been saved for last. Now here I'd like to end this speaking as your junior warden and as a member of the vestry. Here at St. Andrew's, we are asked to do many things. We are the ultimate multitaskers. And I doubt that there is another church in town that demands or asks as much of its congregation as St. Andrew's does. We are a small church, and if we don't all pitch in, nothing gets done. Sometimes we're called to serve on the vestry. Sometimes we're asked to take a role in helping serve the Sunday Eucharist. Sometimes we're asked to help out at concessions, to help out at the non-food pantry, to help weed the memorial garden. There are so many tasks. And now our vestry is asking us to increase our pledge by 20% if we are to fund the ministries that we deem to be important. At St. Andrew's, we are asked to lead sacrificial lives. But we aren't doing this just for St. Andrew's. We are doing it to promote the kingdom of God on earth. We are the hearts and hands of Jesus to a world that badly needs it. I believe that when each of us says, "Here am I, send me," when we recognize that now is the appointed hour, when we willingly let Jesus transform us into something better, then as individuals and as a church, we can say the best has been saved for less. Here at St. Andrew's, we can be the best wine, and it has been worth the wait. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.